This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Oh, Jack. Let me catch my breath. I'm winded, and I need to cover the sounds of you eating vegan brie on mic. Oh, I'm just so winded. It feels like it was just about 18 hours ago.
Mm-hmm. In the future.
That I was recording an episode of The Babysitters. Sorry, yes. 18 hours ago and 10 to 12 weeks in the future.
Yeah.
That I was recording an episode of Babysitter's Club Friends Forever with you.
Yes, that's exactly right. But we're hacking into your feed with a whole new show. That's cool to say. Does that sound good?
We're hacking into your feed with a whole new show.
Yes.
Because we've decided to take the next
10
to 12 weeks.
Lives.
God, it would be so easy for us to just look up how many episodes there are, wouldn't it?
No, unprofessional. Won't do it.
Unprofessional, right. We're going to take the next 10 to 12 weeks to talk about a new bit of Babysitter's Club lore.
Yes.
And media.
Mm-hmm.
That Anne herself has. She's descended from heaven.
The mountain. Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. Princeton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And given us a golden tablet.
Yeah.
With some new rules to Christianity on it.
That's right. That's right. And they're like, she like got it on Etsy.
And there's like new angels and you can marry like lots of people. It's pretty wild, but it's a whole new chunk of Babysitter's Club, and we want to strike while the iron is hot because we're content professionals.
Is that from their marketing materials? Did you just take that from their like press release?
Yeah, sorry, I was just reading their PR release.
A whole new chunk of Babysitter's Club. Hey guys, another meaty chunk of Babysitter's Club.
Babysitter's Club. Yeah, so Anne and teamed up with Netflix to do a Babysitter's Club TV show. I don't know if you've heard about it, but Jack, I need to vamp because Jack just took another big heaping bite of vegan brie on toast. But there's a new Netflix show, Babysitter's Club, it's called. And it's new, and it's for the modern era. And it is made by Netflix and Anne, and we are going to take the next 10 weeks to watch it. And the Friends Forever series is paused, and if you're new to the show because you heard that there's a Babysitter's Club podcast talking about the new show and you want to listen to it, welcome.
Welcome.
This is what it's like, the show.
This is a lot what it's like. Sometimes we introduce a show. Would you like me to do that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot. I think like just because we did record last night, it is the middle of the afternoon on the Friday that the show came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling a little sort of like intoxicated just on the very presence of new Babysitter's Club material.
Well, we really scuttled our own plans, didn't we? Because
we've been
literally for months in our Facebook group, people have been posting like every update, like, oh, casting decisions, like new articles about like when it's going to be released, and like just it's really been a major topic of conversation in my life for months.
Yep. Yeah,
And then only yesterday I was like, maybe we should talk about it.
Yesterday we sat down to record our normal show on our normal evening, Thursday evening, and we were like, shit, this Netflix show comes out tomorrow. And it's like, okay, let's abandon all of our plans, totally upend our lives and our weekends, watch the TV show tomorrow, record tomorrow night, and then edit it for Monday. And it turns out that the next 10 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever,
we will not look to see how many episodes there are. And that's actually the first rule of the new Babysitter's Club, isn't it? We will not look. And please don't tell us.
We want to be surprised. Maybe it's 1,000. Maybe it's like Doctor
Who. It could be 1,000. Yeah.
And they just keep like regenerating into new girl bodies.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
So welcome to the show, newcomers. Welcome to the show, old comers.
Yep. Ugh. That's good. No, that was good. I liked it. We keep it. Oh,
we call
this
you
is also
Baby Nation.
Yeah, you're called Baby Nation. So welcome to the nation.
Babies.
New babies. And also to old babies. You're still welcome here. You're always welcome here.
Second cast, I would say. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's great. That's good community building. is relegate all of like your most loyal listeners to this to a second class.
Yeah.
And this is a rare no whammies episode.
Oh yeah, because it is the middle of the afternoon. My son is taking a nap, and so we have 1 hour and just 1 hour.
So everything we say is content.
Everything we say is content.
The vegan brie eating, that stuff, that's just going in there.
You just wanted to create a bit of extra challenge for a No Whammies episode by coming in eating vegan brie on toast.
Here's what I need to do. I do need to take two more bites of it. I'll cut out my mouth sounds, but I'd love for you to introduce both of us while I do that. Can you do that?
Okay, yep. So welcome, hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club. Club, can you at least say club through a mouthful of brie? Thank you. It's a podcast wherein I, Tanner Greenring, and my co-host, Jack Shepherd, talk about the Babysitter's Club series of novels written by Anne M. Martin, except now we don't do that. What we do instead is we talk about the Netflix original series, The Babysitter's Club, on Netflix, which is not written by Anne M. Martin, but inspired by the works of Anne M. Martin. And we will talk about who it is written by later, because
great,
it's universe shaping in a way. It's a we've got there's like a new member of the pantheon.
Interesting.
Almost.
Okay.
You know?
I like to hear this. Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later, but yeah, we talk about the Babysitter's Club books. And until now, if you're new, I don't know that we're going to get any new listeners. We both are kind of working off this assumption that we might. But if you are new,
yeah,
we talk about the Babysitter's Club books. We've talked about nearly all of them. We're halfway through the literal last bit of Babysitter's Club books, which are the Friends Forever books.
This is the first time, I think, in the history of our podcast, which has been going for more than 4 years, where the bus that is our podcast, and it's the bus from Speed.
The Venga bus.
No, oh. It's not the Venga bus. It's the bus from Speed.
I think it's the Venga bus.
Okay.
I think it's the Venga bus.
Okay, fine. Well, the Venga bus has a bomb on it. And if the Venga bus... Yeah, that's why everybody's so worried. They're like, the Venga boys are coming! The Venga bus is coming! That's why everyone's jumping out of the way!
There's a bomb on that bus!
But so, that thing about the bus, that it's our podcast, which is the Venga bus. It is a Venga bus.
Yeah.
It's never stopped before because of the bomb. But today, for the first time, the bus has stopped so that new people can get on.
Yeah, but you have to get on fast because this...
You got to get on fast because we can't slow down past 60 miles an hour.
The Venga bomb might blow up at any moment.
Yes.
Yeah, so true. Here we are. It's our show. We're talking about the first episode of the Netflix series.
I want to briefly tell the listeners why we're doing it. Can I say that?
Yeah. Okay. And I would love for you to like walk them through some of the epithets too if you can.
Okay, cool. Well, what I will first say is that the reason that we do this podcast is because I, when I was a young man, moved to the United States, and my best friend was my cousin, and
sad.
She had a whole bunch of Babysitter's Club books, and I read a lot of them, and so they've been an important part of my life. And then for you, Tanner, I think, and tell me if this is wrong, but you erroneously assumed that it was Babysitter's Club as in, like, clubbing seals?
Yeah, I thought,
and
they
you were
like
excited about that, and that's
not really
why
clubbing
you kind of
seals,
agreed
but
to
like,
do it.
I thought they were martial artists.
Okay, yeah,
that was like an Ong Bak kind of thing, where it's like this group of young women who take care of children and also use clubs to defeat like the Yakuza.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And that sounded really interesting to me.
Okay, good. But anyway, now here we are. And you wanted me to say the epithets.
Well, so you made me introduce the show so you could eat your vegan brie.
Yeah.
And I don't know the epithets because I don't have them written down or memorized. So I just thought maybe you'd want to take a run at them. You don't have to. It's sort of a reset, too. We're back to Christy's great idea, which is actually Watson's great idea.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We're gonna modernize the Babysitter's Club and just like make it like in tune with progressive values, and like we're not gonna change much except that the idea is actually Watson's.
So I don't know if we need to do the epithets, because like at this point in time, sort of in the canon, in this moment, Anne didn't have any epithets.
Yeah, let's come up with new epithets for the new hand. Oh, you know what?
You love coming up with new epithets.
Yeah, well, here's what I'm realizing.
It's your favorite. We'll do one each week.
I want to talk about the hand of God that appears in this show, and I'm realizing that I was wondering what it was, and I thought you might have some thoughts about it, but it's maybe becoming clear to me that what it represents is whoever this mysterious ghostwriter is, this new person they brought in.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to assign Hand of God to Anne, because she's not the Hand of God here. It's really this new ghostwriter. But I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few options here in the text for epithets.
Yeah.
The show is sort of framed by this narrative device, like the first book, where Christy needs to write an essay on decorum.
Right, yes.
And she relates it back to Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
And his words that all men are created equal.
Right.
And she says, all people are created equal.
She said, if Thomas Jefferson was such a fucking genius, why did he say all men when he should have meant all people?
Yes. And I'm wondering if Anne was giving us a clue at her epithet there. Is it maybe the people creator?
There's something there. The creator.
Otherwise, I think the other one is Sam says he's going to go see a carcinogens concert. And I was thinking maybe that was the clue.
Yeah.
Anne is like saying... Does she want us to call her the carcinogen? That seems
that was weird
dark.
Too.
Do we do book recaps in this? Or not book recaps. What do you call it? What do you call a book that's on a screen? Episode. Recaps.
A picture book?
Picture book sounds close, but I think that's like a board book, you know?
Okay.
It's like a
Video book,
yes.
Yeah. Let me just read this passage, and then we can talk about whether we want to recap this. We can do whatever we want, for what it's worth. But listen to this.
It's no whammies, but it's also no rules just right.
Yes, it's no whammies and no rules. Charlie says, so we were introduced to Charlie and Sam. They're not as cool or hot as I thought they would be in real life.
Charlie. This is not my Charlie.
Yeah, that's not my Charlie. But the following thing happens. Elizabeth... who is played by a famous actress, I think, because I recognize her face. Batgirl?
That's her most famous role in my mind.
She's plays Batgirl. I haven't seen that one. But
you
she's
seen
a famous
Batman
person.
Batman and Robin?
Actually, no.
With George Clooney and Chris
O'Donnell.
Is it Chris O'Donnell? Anyway, it's Alicia Silverstone, and she plays Batgirl.
Oh, it is Alicia Silverstone, because I thought she looked a lot like Alicia Silverstone. And it is.
It's Alicia Silverstone, and she plays Batgirl.
That's great.
I think Joel Schumacher, Batman and Robin.
Okay, so now this is breaking news for listeners. We've honed in on who the first, the name of one of the cast, and it's Alicia Silverstone, famous actress, and she plays Elizabeth.
Interesting that Anne chose to cast Batgirl.
Yeah, if that is interesting.
Elizabeth Brewer, because you may not know this, new baby bees, but we also call you baby bees. Anne hates bats.
And is a bane to bats, and she hates bats. And bats are her natural enemy in the wild. It's the only thing that could probably bring her down. But
it's
it is also her it's her greatest fear. But she is their greatest fear.
Yes.
So choosing back, I mean, that works with the Batman mythology.
She can't control herself around bats.
Right. Yes.
The fear, the primal Anne takes over.
Yeah.
You know.
I really love to read this passage from the video book. Elizabeth, now we know Alicia Silverstone, Batgirl says, okay, let's just say Batgirl, I think is
Batgirl.
The easiest.
Yep.
Batgirl says, hey, can anybody fucking babysit? please, for the love of God, I need a babysitter because I have a date with Watson. And Charlie and Sam are playing a video game. I couldn't figure out which game it was. Maybe you did.
Looked like Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter 5.
And Charlie says,
whatever the new Street Fighter is.
Charlie says, I'm going out with Olivia tomorrow night. And Sam says, I'm going out with Emmett and Oliver to see the carcinogens.
Yes.
That was weird, I thought.
What part of it is weird?
Well, what's the carcinogens?
I assume he means carcinogens, like cancer-causing agents in food or environmental sources.
So he's like Doogie Howser.
I think so. He's probably like Doogie Howser in this, which is a character choice, I guess.
Yeah, I like
it. Maybe they'll explore that later.
Well, they did. They made a number of interesting choices. In the books, for instance, the girls are bees.
Right.
And in this, they had them be human women.
They chose to depict them as young women in this.
And they transported them into the future, didn't they?
There were some indications that it's not our future.
Right.
But our present day, but the girls' future. There are some indications. At one point, Claudia says, why don't you come on over and we'll Postmates some pizza?
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good indication that it's not 1986 anymore.
No.
And they're playing Street Fighter V, which came out just a couple years ago. Yeah, there's a lot of indications that this is modern day. The club notebook is no longer a notebook. Did you catch that?
It's like an iPad.
No, it's a Google Docs. Marianne says, I'll start a Google Docs and we can start keeping track of our jobs and our notes from our jobs and everything like that.
Oh, that's not as cool as a notebook, is it?
Not quite as cool. No. Yeah.
They should have done it. You know how in Romeo and Juliet they call the gun brand swords so they don't have to change anything? What would be cool would be if she just had like a notebook computer, you know, and then she's like, oh, I'm writing it up in the Babysitter's Club notebook,
like the one with the little like red nub in the middle of the keyboard that you use as a mouse.
Yeah, hell yeah. And that would make it like really modern. What do you want? Let's stay with
I think we should describe it. Yeah, I think we should describe the video book.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, good. You do it first
always.
Okay.
Always, you do it first.
Okay.
I usually do it second. I do it in 60 seconds, usually, and you do it first. Unless we just want to do it once. You know what? New rules, just right.
New rules, just right.
You do it in 60 seconds.
And that's it?
And that's it.
That seems unfair.
Well, I'll do it in 60 seconds next time.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
Okay.
We only do it once now.
Yeah, fine.
We usually do it twice. We only do it once now.
And now we do it once. Will you want to time me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's been so long. 60-second burger.
No whammies here. You got to fill dead air if you're looking for
run. Okay, yep. 60-second burger run is up and running.
Oh, that's
I'm
not fair.
I'm going to hit start that's in not fair. 5, 4, okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Christy is a girl in Stony
Brook. Okay, I got an ad, so you've given extra 8 seconds.
I don't want you talking at all. I don't want you talking. Christy is a girl in Stony Brook. She speaks out in class against the patriarchy and is punished by her teacher and has to write an essay. That's how it opens. She introduces us to her friends. Marianne is her best friend. She's shy. And then also she has this friend called Claudia, who she used to be more close with, but Claudia has discovered boys and isn't that interested in hanging out with her anymore. Anyway, cut to her mom, Elizabeth, is pretty hot and heavy with this guy, Watson, who's a millionaire, and he's very cool, and I like him a lot. And Elizabeth announces that they're getting married, and that really pisses off Christy, and she says some pretty mean things to Watson. In the meantime, Christy realizes that her mom's difficulty finding babysitting could be solved if she creates a club with her friends so that everyone can find a babysitter whenever they need one. And she asks Claudia to join, and Claudia brings this girl from New York called Stacy, who's hiding some kind of secret, which is unclear because she said she was going to be away one weekend and couldn't babysit, and in fact she wasn't away, so what the hell is that all about? There's a lady with a beret that I want to talk about. How much time do I have left?
I don't know. I wasn't timing you, and here's why. Let me explain.
Okay, you did a terrible job because they definitely went longer than 60 seconds.
Yeah. So how do I say this? I don't want to say this without doing libel.
Okay.
But Cool Math Games has gone to fucking shit.
Fuck Cool Math Games, man.
I went to Cool Math Games to fire up a game of 60-second Burger Run, so I know exactly how long 60 seconds is.
It's the only way to
do it. Exactly 60 seconds to play Burger Run.
People rely on this, Cool Math Games. People rely on this to time their days out.
I went there, and it immediately served me an ad,
mm-hmm.
which took 10 seconds. So I was like, fine, yeah. Jack gets an extra 10 seconds. And then when the ad was over, I hit start, and the game failed to load. So I hit refresh, and I had to click through, like, to close out of a lot of pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started playing another fucking video ad before the game started. And I was like, fuck this. Fuck Cool Math Games.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
They're over. Cool Math Games are over. If only there were some, like, more convenient and easy way to, like, time someone for 60 seconds.
I wish that, too. I wish that, too. But...
It would make
Cool Math Games has
you'd be able to pay attention
one...
to me and kind of be locked in. We wouldn't have to advertise for this shitty company.
I know.
Cool Math Games. Ugh. If anyone can think of something, let us know.
So you had unlimited time, and did you get all the plot out with it? Not really.
Yeah, I got all the plot out, so much so that like I ended up just kind of flailing around at the end, and you made me look bad.
Well, you made yourself look bad.
I want to talk about this beret lady.
I want to talk about the beret lady too, Jack, but first I want to talk about Netflix. While we're talking about bad companies.
Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect. Bite the hand that feeds you.
I logged into Netflix this morning to watch this program that I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And was it at the top of my trending list? No.
No.
Was it in my recommended for you list? No. Was it in my... new on Netflix list? No. I had to go search for it like some kind of peasant.
Wow.
I had to
like,
pull up my
sure
Apple TV.
You
want to
watch this?
I had to scroll over to search and hold my Apple TV up to my mouth and say Babysitter's Club into the remote so it could understand me clearly.
Yeah.
Before it would go find it for me. And I just think Netflix, how could you fuck this up so badly? How could your algorithm get this so wrong?
Yeah.
Why would it not serve me? Why would it not be the first thing on my list? Babysitter's Club.
I mean, maybe because you've been watching like super weird
you know who
shit
I am?
For years. And
you know who I am?
They do know who you are.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah, no, that's
serve
a good
me,
point.
Babysitter's Club.
Don't you know who I am? Netflix. And they did immediately serve me Babysitter's Club. They're like, Jesus. I know who you are. You want to watch Babysitter's Club?
They gave me something called Unresolved Mysteries or something like that.
That sounds cool.
What? Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Do you want to talk, speaking of unresolved mysteries, do you want to talk about the beret lady?
Yes. Great segue. Okay.
Great. Thank you. At the 15-minute and 30-second mark of this film, of this filmic experience.
Mm-hmm.
Of this video book.
Yep.
The beret lady walks by.
Okay.
She is beige all over. And she's got
she's
the craziest
beige.
Beret.
She's
it's
got
weird.
A crazy beret. And if I remember correctly, Claudia hands her a pamphlet, right?
Claudia, I think it's Stacy, hands her a pamphlet.
And does she do a face like this?
Yes. It's yeah, it's kind of like that. So you did like a smug face, but what I want is for us to actually hone in on the expression. So let's get this right, because this is like the coolest moment in the entire episode. Stacy hands her a pamphlet, and Stacy says, Babysitter's Club. And she doesn't say it like that. She says it like an actor would. Babysitter's Club. Or something. I don't know how to do it. I'm not an actor.
Babysitter's Club. I'm not a trained actor, but I'm...
What's the guy who says, hello and welcome to the actor's studio? She says it like that.
Yes. James.
The Babysitter's Club.
Lipton. Yes.
And then Stacy does the expression that you did, Tanner. She does this like... Does this come across over audio?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of... It's like... It's a Stacy sneer. Sort of her go-to.
It's a Stacy sneer. Which doesn't totally make sense because she's just trying to get her to use her business service. Then, as the lady walks away, and this is, everybody go back and watch it, please. It's 15 minutes and 30 seconds. We're going to try our best to convey this over audio. It's vital to understanding what they're trying to do, what Anne and the unnamed ghostwriter, as yet unnamed ghostwriter, are trying to do. As the lady walks away, the expression she makes is like, it's kind of like an expression you would make if you were saying like, fuck yeah. She's like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, got it, got him, something.
Do you know, yeah. Do you have a theory for the lady, the beret lady?
Well, there's two other pieces of information we need to know before we hone in on a theory, and I do not
more
have
clues.
A theory.
More clues.
Two more
I
clues.
I have a theory, but let's see if your wall of evidence supports my theory or...
Negates it. Here's number one. What's fucking wild. I watched this 30 times in a row. I just kept looping back. At the same time that the beret lady makes that expression, which doesn't make sense. She just got handed a Babysitter's Club flyer, and she like barrels the camera, and she just goes, fuck yeah, with her face.
Yeah.
And then at that exact moment, Stacy does the same expression behind her in the background. She does the same expression like, yeah. Like they're connected. And the lady is kind of Stacy-ish. She's got like a Stacy outfit, like the
beret.
She's
kind of prep.
Fucking,
she's preppy.
Yeah. And then the final piece of evidence is...
Or posh, sort of.
Her moving past the screen reveals what's going on at a table behind Stacy. And it's a man who's like a businessman having dinner, and he's doing this like weird like mime with his hands. I'm doing it for Tanner. He's just going,
okay, interesting.
Where he's like, it's not like something you would do at dinner. He's like showing someone the palms of his hands in an odd way.
I don't think the last bit of information is relevant to
what's going on.
My theory or what's happening here in the scene. I think this is Liz Lewis.
Okay.
The head of... The head of the babysitter's agency
from...
And I think this is foreshadowing from the truth about Stacy.
Okay.
And I think this is foreshadowing and what they've showed us the bad babysitter, the bad babysitting element of Stony Brook. And she got this flyer and she's like, fuck yeah, because what she's thinking is like, I'm going to steal this idea.
That's good. Okay, I like that.
And you will see me again in the near future.
Okay, that's brilliant. And then, so this maybe connects to another thing, which is that...
And the man?
The man, yeah.
Goliath Hardbody.
Oh, of course. And he's like, that's something that Goliath would do. He's like just doing a power move on like a client, where he's like, he like read some book that was like Stephen Covey, like Habits of Influential People or whatever, where he's like, if you show them the palms of your hand while you're talking... they'll be more impressed by you.
It'll set them at ease.
And that is
true,
way
they know you don't have a dagger.
And then so maybe this connects to another thing that happens, which is that the reason Batgirl doesn't want to just do what all of the rest of us in the modern era do and go on like care.com is because the site that exists in their universe that where you can get babysitters not only costs $78, but they will sell your personal information to the Russians.
Okay.
And so I was wondering if that was like big Russian babysitting, and that's like kind of setting something up for the future where there's like a shadowy Russian babysitting conglomerate in the background that is going to be a nemesis for that.
Right. It could be. I'm curious what you saw in this episode that made you feel like babysitteravailable.com or whatever sells your information.
Well, she says it.
Oh, she does say that?
Batgirl says, oh no, Claudia says it. Christy's like, yeah, fucking babysittingkremlin.net was $78. And then Claudia says, oh, and I bet they'll sell your information to the Russians.
So, the other night my mother needed a sitter for David Michael, and... she had to make like a million phone calls and pay $80 to join this weird website.
Which will then sell her personal information to like the Russians.
Okay, right. We've talked about this a little bit before, but the babysitters we often get for Miles are Irish ladies because they can come over on a special visa.
Visa.
Where they get to work in a bar or be a babysitter. And it sounds like this is something similar to that, but for Russians. So it's sort of steeped in sort of xenophobia.
Right. Yes.
Her mistrust of these websites.
And that's going to be fun. That'll be a fun plot to kind of unravel.
I also just thought that moment was relatable because she was like, oh, my trial's out and I can't like remember my login. It's like, yeah, I've given up on like, I give up on something instantly when I can't remember my login or if the trial's out.
Cool. What do you think about taking a quick break?
If you think we need to. It's no whammies. So we got to keep the okay. mics running. They'll hear everything.
Okay. I'm going to let you in on something, Tanner. I do a little bit of editing of the episodes before.
Even no whammies? Even no whammies?
Yeah, even no whammies. And so when I say, like, let's take a quick break, what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to throw to, in post, I'm going to throw to, like, the theme song, like a little okay. snippet of it, and then people will have the experience of us taking a break even if we
when
don't.
When the theme song ends, it'll come back to silence because both of us are off, like, going to the bathroom or grabbing a beer.
Well, you and I don't, whether we actually take a break is irrelevant, is what I'm saying. It's like movie magic. Whether you and I actually take a break is irrelevant.
Okay.
Does that track for you? Does that make sense?
So I'm not allowed to go to the bathroom.
I don't want you to, no. I want to just keep barreling through, but
Okay, great.
So can you handle this? Okay, Tanner's hit pause. Okay, sorry, everyone. Okay, I teased this at the top of the episode, Tanner, but I do want to talk about it. Another sinister and troubling...
Tease me, Daddy.
Okay, I didn't need that at all.
Yeah.
It hasn't helped. In fact, it's derailed me because it's... I know that you're just trying to like validate me.
Yeah.
But it was such an odd thing to say that it's ended up throwing me completely off what I was saying. Anyway, that's just a note for you.
Yeah, I didn't like saying it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just popped into my head.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we all had to listen to it. But I teased at the top of the episode, The Hand of God. I'm sure you noticed it. If you didn't, let me refresh your memory at the moment, 23 minutes and 3 seconds into this episode. Oh, by the way, folks, by the way.
Me? Or?
What they do, what the Netflix does in 30 minutes, they give you 30 minutes of content. We're giving you an hour of content on the same thing.
Yeah,
so
they are
twice the work that they did.
They are 45-minute episodes.
No, they're not. They're 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Just take the compliment, man. Take the win. We're doing double the work that they do. We're giving you double the content.
We're taking...
With the same raw materials, but we're just doing more.
Ugly, dirty little rocks.
Yeah.
And we are polishing them into beautiful, gleaming gems.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. That's what we're doing. Okay, at 23 minutes and 3 seconds in, a sinister image appears on Claudia's door.
Okay.
And I mean sinister literally.
I'm going to my mind palace to see if I can remember.
Okay.
I can't.
I will try to describe it. I mean sinister literally because it is a left hand, the sinister hand.
Right, yes. Something we've discussed before.
It is a left hand, and... In the middle of the left, it's a drawing. In the middle of the left hand is a triangle, right side up, with 4 straight lines going down through the center of the triangle.
Is that pagan?
I don't know,
or
man.
Or like Wiccan or something?
I don't know. It really struck me. I looked at it for a long time. I tried to get like a really focused version of it to see if I could see what it was, but they deliberately kind of keep it out of focus. And then there are 4 radiating bars coming out of the... towards the northwest, northeast, southwest, and southeast corners of the diagram.
Okay.
It really struck me. Everything else in Claudia's room is just like pictures of orbs, mostly.
Right, or like disembodied faces.
Or disembodied faces.
Or statues of menstruation.
Yeah, she does do a statue of menstruation at one point. But this struck me, and I've been calling it the Hand of God.
Interesting.
Wonder if you have any insight into what it might be. It felt kind of Illuminati-ish.
Illuminati-ish does make sense. I'm wondering if this is the hand of the god of this episode and series. this new ghostwriter.
Okay. Oh, so it's like Ned Stark is the Hand of the King. And if Anne is God, then the new ghostwriter is the Hand of God.
Yeah, I think Anne is the head god. But as we know from the series of books, Anne deploys a cabal of ghostwriters to do a lot of her dirty work for her.
Right.
And I think Anne has introduced a new member of the Pantheon this week. A new ghostwriter has entered the annals of history.
Okay.
And do we want to talk about her? Maybe this is her hand. Maybe this is her signature.
Right. On the episode. That's her epithet. Yeah. Okay. Tell me who it is.
And she's the Hand of God. This is, so the new ghostwriter and our new revered being is Rachel Schuchert.
Okay. The Hand of God. And what do we know about
Rachel Schuchert, the Hand of God? She's credited at the end of the episode as being the series creator and writer.
Okay. All right. So she's in the Pantheon.
She's in the Pantheon for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And we'll have to keep an eye on her because I think what you and I are uniquely good at is pulling out the ticks and peculiarities of all of these ghostwriters and finding something to really latch onto with each of them. Sometimes it's their sweet smelling feet. Sometimes it's the fact that they're dogs. Yeah. Sometimes it's something else.
Is there an entity?
So we probably want to keep an eye on Rachel Schuchert. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to like, what do you call it when you know too much about a case and need to not be
involved? Oh, you have to
recuse
yourself?
I may have to recuse myself because Rachel Schuchert happens to be Twitter friends with my wife.
Okay. Well, that's suspicious as hell. So she's been stalking you, your family, for a long time, it sounds like. When did she first insinuate herself into your life?
Okay. And is this IP freely?
Yeah.
Okay. IP freely. Because it sounds like maybe Rachel Schuchert heard about the Babysitter's Club, our podcast, and was like, wow, this thing's really got legs. I should pitch Netflix on a show.
Okay. She discovered the Babysitter's Club through us.
I don't know if that's true, and I don't want to do libel.
I mean, it really sounds like it must be, right?
And I also don't want to speak ill of a ghostwriter. She's a revered member of the Pantheon now.
Right, and she is
she could crush us. So anyway, welcome, Rachel, to the Pantheon.
Yes. Okay, that's interesting.
You're in great revered company, including Peter Larangis.
Yeah.
The entity.
So we've got the feet and we got the hands. They make up a body. Together they make up a body, don't they? I mean, all of them, somehow. Presumably.
Like Zordon.
It's a lot like, I was thinking like Voltron.
Or
yeah,
not, Voltron.
Sure.
Zordon was just sort of the disembodied head.
They form like Voltron. Everyone has always said that about the Babysitter's Club ghostwriters, and now it's becoming true. We've got the hands.
We've always ignored it. Everyone's always just like, you know they're Voltron, right? And we're just like, shut up.
Please do not. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we
interesting. Okay, I'm into it. And I'm welcome Rachel. Or
yes.
Ms. Schuchert, whichever you prefer. Or Your Highness. Or whatever.
Yeah, let us know what you prefer.
Yeah.
Or just hand.
Jack.
Yes.
Can I introduce a new segment for the video book series?
Is it whining? Because you're doing a real whiny.
A little bit.
Effect. Okay.
It's a little whiny.
Okay. Yep. Let's hear it.
It's called,
you don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have
played this fucking character. I consider myself a Babysitter's Club influencer, Jack. I'm a preeminent scholar and expert on Babysitter's Club and its ghostwriters. I'm
recently
an influencer.
Quoted in Vogue magazine.
Recently quoted in Vogue. I'm an influencer. I bring the masses to Babysitter's Club. I don't think it's too much to ask that you and I get a cameo on this fucking show.
It's not, and I have asked it. I have very explicitly asked it.
You did ask someone literally at Walden Media who made the show. Yeah. You sent in an email once. We'll both take a cameo on the show. Haha, just kidding. So, not really.
A very nice person at Walden Media was like, hey, we should do something. And I was like, great, fly us out and put us on the show. I want to be Mr. Prezioso. I think you wanted to be Mr. Prezioso.
I think you and I deserve a bit on this show, and I found the bit, and I found a character this week that made me think I could have played this fucking character.
Is it Claudia?
No, I thought the character, I thought the actress they chose for Claudia was
she,
quite
good. I was going to say, I think you could play most of the roles, but I actually thought Claudia was really excellent. And that's one where I would think, well, you know what? Maybe leave it to a younger generation.
I thought a lot of the Babysitter's Club were really great. I thought Watson was really great. I thought Batgirl was really great. But no, this was at the 6-minute mark, Christy is in class, in like geography class or like history class or something.
Mm-hmm. Social studies.
She's come up with the idea for Babysitter's Club, and by she I mean Watson, and has passed a note to Claudia, an old friend of hers.
Yes,
but sort of estranged a little.
Estranged, yeah.
And said, "Do you want to join the Babysitter's Club? We could use your help and your art expertise and your private line and your room."
Yeah.
And this teacher walks by, Mr. Mm-hmm. Redmond.
Redmond, yeah.
And says, "Christy, are you passing notes in my class?"
Wow. Okay. That was cool. Was that...
Sorry, let me get in the character.
Okay. Because I thought that was really good. That was a good read.
"Hello, my name is Tanner Greenring. I'll be auditioning for the part of Mr. Edmont."
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. What are your credentials? Are you you're an expert in the field?
I'm not a trained actor, but I am. I consider myself sort of a self-trained actor. I've been told I'm quite talented.
Yeah.
And I'm just really enthusiastic about the Babysitter's Club, so I hope you'll consider me.
Okay, great. Come on. Don't have a lot of time.
"Christy Thomas." Wow. "Are you passing notes in my class?" It's okay. Sort of Skeletor, isn't it?
Yeah. So here's a quick note for you. We don't have a lot of time. We have a lot of professional actors who are going to be coming through for the audition. Skeletor, yes. And so what you've done is pretty good for a witch of some kind, or like a witch king, or maybe like a skull-faced Lord of Eternia.
Can I try another take?
But what we want is more like... strict social studies teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me do another take.
Okay.
"Christy Thomas, are you passing notes in my class?"
Okay.
"That is forbidden."
Okay. Again,
I cast thee out.
Yeah. I'm still getting kind of an evil sorcerer vibe, which is great. Would be great if we were doing like The Dark Crystal or something like that. But this is, it's, do you know about the Babysitter's Club? It's like a show about young girls in middle school who kind of,
I've read a number of the books.
So there's not a lot of,
I just want to do something a little interesting with the character.
Okay. Why don't you take one more run at it?
Okay. I'm going to do something completely different this time. It sounds like you're not really connecting with what I'm putting out so far, but
yeah. Take a run at it from a totally different angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
"Yo, Christy."
Okay.
"Forget about it."
Okay.
"You passing notes in my class, forget about it."
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like the Fonz type of, or like,
I'm from Brooklyn,
okay,
and I was just trying to kind of channel like personal experience a little bit.
Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do is we'll call you.
Okay.
Okay.
I think, Jack, I do think you and I deserve parts on this show, and Walden Media,
no, it's fucking,
please.
It's a travesty that we're not on the show. It's an outrage.
Please do reach out to us, Walden Media, and we're happy to play literally any role. We'll do anything.
Please do, and don't think we didn't see the fucking Trip Man opening the doors to his DeLorean when they went into Watson's neighborhood. And don't
think
that both of us didn't covet that fucking part.
If there's any pair of parts that we could have played, it was this waspy like couple getting into their DeLorean in Watson's day. Christy goes to Watson's neighborhood, and the first thing she sees, the way they like sort of like indicate that she's in the rich neighborhood, is like the waspiest couple you've ever seen. They literally have like tennis sweaters on, like tied around their shoulders, and like tennis bracelets on, and they're getting into their like seagull wing
DeLorean
door.
Yeah. It's DeLorean. Fucking awesome. And that could have been us, and it could have been us. And it's an outrage. And the
should
hand
have
of God,
us.
I hope you're listening, because you're unfucking noticed.
Rachel. Notice.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a lightning round of segments. We have three segments that I want to get through, and I think there are probably some other things that you would like to say, so we're going to power through three segments in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Can you do it? Are you up to the task? Are you ready?
That means certainly we'll try.
No getting off task, no whammies, no mistakes.
Really hard
Everything
for me.
You
really
need to say during these segments has to be gold.
Okay.
Okay? First segment is... Who's that knocking at the door? What's that door? What's the sound? It's the sound of knocking.
Child Protective Services, open up. Get your hands on get your hand on the ground.
No, no, it's not. It's...
Oh.
Claudia's
closet.
That's right. We talk about what the girls are wearing, including Claudia. I'm going to run through this real fast. You just tell me if anything jumps out at you. Stacy's wearing a shirt with 1,000 eyes on it, which is a reference to the Greek giant Argus Panoptes. He of 1,000 eyes. He slayed a chthonic half-woman, half-snake monster named Echidna, and he guarded a heifer. Who was actually a nymph named Io, for Hera from Zeus, who was attracted to her. And that's
reference
by Stacy.
Yes, or it could be Shub-Niggurath.
Ah, yes, the Lovecraftian horror of the deep.
Yes.
Yes.
An outer god.
Yes. Very
we
cool.
We know Anne is pretty closely tied to the Lovecraft mythology, yeah. So
I either of those things
to put Shub-Niggurath to hint toward Shub-Niggurath in this book.
Claudia,
video book.
This video book, thank you. You really saved yourself because we're going to look like we're out of touch with the modern era. Claudia is wearing apple glasses. They are like cool little, they're shaped like apples and they have like a little,
stem
coming out of them. That's really cool. It symbolizes the end of innocence and the passing from the pre-lapsarian to the post-lapsarian state after Eve was cast out of the Garden of Eden, which is obviously what is being signaled is that the Babysitter's Club itself is a new beginning, but it is also the end of kind of like a paradise that came before.
That sounds right to me, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, I don't know if you have fashion notes, but Christy at one point is wearing pajama shorts, and I thought that was really cool. They're like
you
pajamas,
like that because that's something you like to do too.
But they're shorts, but it's pajamas, but it's shorts, and that was fucking right. Owned.
You wear jorts as pajama shorts.
I'm wearing pajama
shorts.
You wear
pajama
right
jorts.
I wear pajama jorts, but I also have pajama shorts. I've looked it up, and they make them for boys.
Okay.
And they're great.
Right.
And I'm wearing them right now. It's shorts, but it's pajama material. It's comfortable.
Okay. And quick question. Outside. Just because there are no whammies.
Yeah.
Was that the three segments, or was that one of three segments?
That was one of three segments. It's called Claudia's Closet. The next segment is our... Where we talk about the burns in the video book. Was there a burn that you particularly liked this week?
Yes.
Okay.
1430. Everyone, it's the first meeting of the Babysitter's Club. They're trying to figure out how to do marketing. Turns out Stacy's like a social media expert and like marketing expert, like top of funnel marketing expert. And she's got all these fucking like
she's into like
ideas.
CTR and conversions.
Yeah. And then we hear a throat clear at the door and we turn around. Who's that? Janine Kishi. And
Janine is
like,
awesome. I love Janine in this. Now do you see how much Janine rules? Janine has like a button that she presses on her computer that closes her door. And
okay, and that's actually
Claudia's face.
That's my baller of the week, and it's a segment within a segment.
Okay.
Baller of the week is Janine Kishi. Because at some point, Christy and Marianne walk by on their way to Claudia's room, and they're like, hey, Janine, and she looks at them and just hits a button on her computer, and her door closes. In their face.
Yeah, she's got an awesome rig with like 5 monitors.
Janine's
like
so
looking
cool.
At code. Yeah, Janine.
She's so cool.
Rules. Yeah.
But at the 14-minute and 30-second mark, she overhears Stacy saying all this bullshit about like SME and like SEO and top of funnel shit. And she's like, she immediately dismisses it, and she's like, you know, you guys could just do like something more like person to person and word of mouth. And she refers to Stacy as the yellow hair.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Which is just
that.
So insulting and so dismissive.
May I make a suggestion?
Do we really have a choice?
Given the challenge inherent as the yellow hair noted in building a platform from scratch, I would ascertain that the most effective solution to your dilemma may be an analog one.
She was like, you don't have to do what the
yellow hair
is
talking about CTR, but why not rely on word of mouth marketing? That's fucking great.
It's so good.
It's fucking awesome.
And Stacey looks so insulted by being referred to as the yellow hair.
Stacey looks like put out throughout this whole thing.
Yeah. They did a good job of casting an actress who, like, played an insufferable Stacey.
Yeah, she's like, I'm from New York. And then Chrissy's like, oh, cool, where in New York? And she's like, the city. Fuck you.
I also forgot that it was a character trait early in these books that Marianne was, like, obsessed with New York. They abandoned so quickly in the books, but yeah. She maintains that character trait.
She's like tongue-tied. She's like, the city.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my burns. I've got two of them. I'll say them real fast. First burn is from Batgirl.
Okay.
When she's like trying to find a babysitter at the last minute, and she's on the phone, and she goes, how much an hour? What are you going to do, breastfeed him?
Good.
That's funny. And the second burn is from Christy on Watson. And she says to Watson... She says to her mother in front of Watson, he might be able to buy you, Mom, but he can't buy us.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Pretty tough. Before we talk about your third segment, can we explore Watson's character a little bit?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or is that your third segment?
Well, my third segment is Watson adjacent. So why don't we just introduce it and then we can talk more about Watson.
Watson is played by an actor called Mark Feuerstein.
At first, I was like, that's not what Watson looks like. And then I was like, by the end of it, I was like, that's my Watson.
I think Watson is my favorite character. And I know that sounds bad because we're two middle-aged white men. And what we've done is really gravitate towards the middle-aged white man in the show.
But he like rides his bike to work in his suit.
He rides his bike to work. Awesome. He's very silly and goofy and funny. And like, I don't know how to say this in a way that doesn't sound bad, but he is directly responsible for the creation and propagation of the Babysitters Club.
Yeah. Do you want to just say that this part for people who haven't seen the show? Because I don't want it to seem like we think that.
Christy.
The show thinks that.
Christy came up with the idea for the Babysitters Club. We'll give her that. She hears Batgirl frustratedly trying to find babysitters, and she was like, me and my friends can be babysitters. We'll show up in the same place at the same time each week and people can call us.
Yeah.
But she's pitching Watson on this at dinner one night. And Watson is like, oh, awesome. So, like, what do you charge? And she's like, competitive rates. He's like, great. And he's like, do you have dues? Like, do you kick up a certain amount of your earnings to dues? And Chrissy's like, yes.
Yeah. Are you gonna keep track of everything in some kind of a
club
notebook?
Do you keep a calendar or like a notebook or like an itinerary? And she's like, yes. He like hand feeds her like every
all of
bit
the
of the Babysitter's names. Club. Yeah. And then it's revealed at the end in a very sweet moment that their first meeting, they get one call.
Well, this is my segment.
Okay.
And it is my
tearful moment.
And it made me cry.
Yep.
So they finally start getting clients, and like it's hot and heavy with the Babysitter's Club. Everyone in Stony Brook's interested, and someone calls, and it's I like didn't put this together until the show put it together for me, because I was so focused on the name, because Claudia's like, oh, the Papadakis is great, you live next to the Brewers. And I was like, is Hanny Big House or Little House? And so I was worried about that.
You immediately started writing an email to Netflix being like,
excuse me. But I think Hanny is Big House and Nancy is Little House. So yeah. I deleted that. And thank God I didn't send it, because I would have really ruined some credibility.
It would have been embarrassing. Yeah.
But what I should have been thinking about is what happens next, which is that, and I genuinely teared up. It's because like Christy has said all this horrible shit to Watson. Like, you're trying to buy my family. It's so fucked up. But she realizes in that moment that what must have happened is that like Watson just kind of wonderfully like went around his neighborhood. I'm tearing up now. Like went around his neighborhood knocking on the door and being like, hey, my like soon to be stepdaughter has started this babysitting club. Like, you should give her a call. It's really lovely. And she like writes a text to her mom that says like, tell Watson, thank you. And I cried.
My two tearful moments were both Watson. One was Watson adjacent as well, which is when they're handing out pamphlets with the Babysitter's Club logo and information on it. Everyone's just like a little bit like, okay.
Yeah.
But when she hands one to Watson, Watson's like, Babysitter's Club. Yes. And he like skips away. He's so excited.
He's so excited. And that's like the day after she's like told him he's trying to like buy her family.
The other moment that really, really got me, Jack, was the first meeting when the phone first rings and Christy picks it up and she says, Babysitter's Club founder and president Christy Thomas speaking. I was just like sobbing. I was just like, oh, there it goes.
There it is. Wow.
There it goes. So
you get to live it again. And she has ported from the 80s into the body of a. Have we resolved what this is? Is it the same Christy from the 80s who's just somehow like time jumped or what? They don't explain.
Yeah, no, I think it's a Doctor Who situation. I think she's probably. She's like the fifth Christy, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay.
There was like that one Christmas special Christy. It's like, can you count her? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And that's, I guess, true of everyone.
And it's true of Mimi and Louie too, who are back. So that's
and they're gonna have to kill them again, aren't they?
I suspect so.
I mean, I assume that they're gonna kill them again.
So welcome,
to
the show, our new favorite character, Watson Brewer. Welcome to the show, Batgirl. Welcome to the Pantheon, Rachel Schuchert, and welcome, Baby
God.
Nation, old babies and new.
And welcome, Beret Lady.
Welcome, Beret Lady, and welcome to the show. New baby bees and old second tier baby bees.
Perfect. That's great. This is good.
This is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future. So and I hope you weren't too attached to the Friends Forever books.
I mean, well, we've recorded two episodes.
Yeah.
That are in the bank currently. So they'll be back.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add before we leave? Sounds like your baby has woken up. His name is Miles.
Yep, he's woken up and he's screaming.
He's not happy. 22:21 at the 22-minute and 21-second mark of this show, there's a frog on a shelf in Claudia's room.
Okay, so that's confirmed canon.
Yep, and so they got us and they frogged us and we're all losers.
Yep.
That's it. That's everything.
That's everything.
What I'd like to say is thank you for bearing with us. I'd like to say thank you, Miles, for keeping it down, actually.
Yep. He's standing right outside the door going,
that's a lot like his data. It really is.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched episode one of the Babysitter's Club Netflix show, Christy's Great Idea. Next week we're going to be watching season one, episode two, Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls. We will be back with Friends Forever eventually, but it's going to be some indeterminate amount of time because we do refuse to look up how many episodes there are on the show, and we will not do it. We won't do it, so don't even ask us to.
Don't ask us and don't tell us.
And don't tell us.
We want to be surprised.
All there remains for me to say that my name has been this week Jack Shepherd.
My name's Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember. Do we say all the things?
I think so.
Okay. Please
throw him into the deep
do
end.
Remember to round off the corners in your bedroom. Drown all your dolls. Call your senator and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys. Remember the Trip Man. And take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now. And the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been.
Invented.
That was cool. I like that. 96 and I've hit record.
Oh, jeez, I hit record, too. Numbers are going up. Your mouth is full of vegan brie. Two.
One. Two.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Four. Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
Ten.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.